first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is our final update before next Tuesday's elections. And as we promised, we will be doing part two of our 2014 general election preview tonight, right here on the TNT radio show, Tuesday Night Truth, with your host and myself, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. The date is Tuesday, October the 28th, and we got lots of stuff on the Liberty calendar this week. How about this week, 13 years ago, an unlucky 13 years ago this week, the Patriot Act was passed, which basically destroyed American constitutional rights. The Patriot Act passed this week 13 years ago. You had the New York subway opened this week 110 years ago. You had the first Federalist Papers printed way back this week in 1787. Of course, the good old unconstitutional Federal Reserve helped crash the stock market this week in 1929. And finally, not to be outdone, we look at the calendar and we see, we can turn the page on the Freedom calendar here, that the first half dollar was coined this week in 1794. So again, today is Tuesday, October 28th, your final update before the general elections of 2014. Hard to believe it's already here. We'll start out looking at some national stuff before we get back down to what we promised this week, which is coverage of our local, county, and judicial races, and there are quite a few of those. Time will fly once we get into those, so not wasting too much time. Over on Real Clear Politics, they are saying right now, as we stand, less than 7 days out, I guess you would call it 6 days and several hours out, they are saying that the U.S. Senate is a toss-up. They're saying that they predict that 45 Democrats will hold on to their seats, 45 Republicans will hold on to their seats, and leaving 10 seats as a toss-up. They call those 10 toss-up seats the ones belonging to Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, New Hampshire, and North Carolina. Everything else they're talking about is safe, either Democrat or Republican. They don't even have any races that they claim lean Democrat or Republican. So are we going to be in for some surprises? Well, that's why they're called surprises, aren't they? I made it very clear how I feel about predicting elections. I don't do it. I'll make endorsements, and we put our endorsements out late last night out on the social networks. We made it very clear that we'll make endorsements, but we will not make predictions because we believe in letting the voters decide that on election day. Sorry, it might sound corny. It might sound stoic and old-fashioned, but that's the way we are. But just think about the fact that you have 100 U.S. Senate seats, 33 of them are up for re-election, either 33 or 34, however you want to look at it. And it all comes down to, according to Real Clear Politics, which has not been far off on their predictions, they predict it comes down to those 10 Senate seats. Ironically, they're pretty spread out. None of them are neighboring states of ours, but they do have Kentucky as a straight-up toss-up right now between incumbent Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. and Allison Blunderland Grimes. Looking at polls that have been put out in the last week, we had one from CBS News/New York Times/YouGov showing McConnell up 45 to 39. Had one over the same period of time from the Courier Journal here in Louisville and Survey USA, said it was 44 to 43. Said it was right there within that margin of error. the CBS News poll consequently had a margin of error of 4 points, so McConnell was ahead of the margin of error on that one. But then the Rasmussen poll that also was put out last week says 52-44 McConnell. So who are you going to believe? We got a poll that says McConnell by 8, a poll that says McConnell by 6, and a poll that says McConnell by 1. Now, on the average, if we were averaging out all these polls up until right now, they on average come down to McConnell of about 4 to 5%. And marginal error in most of these polls is 3 to 4%. So it's fairly close. It's not quite in the marginal error, but it's fairly close. Now we look at the battle for the Senate. We talked about 10 key races. Now if we go back and look at the battle for the House, it looks a little different. Nobody's ever questioned what's going to happen in the U.S. House, because if you look at the House map, they're claiming Republicans right now holding an advantage of about 45 seats. 228 to 183 with 24 toss-up seats. And the toss-up seats we're seeing for House being Arizona 1 and 2, California 7, 26, and 52. Yes, California districts toss-ups, folks. Florida 26, Georgia 12, Hawaii 1, Iowa 1, Illinois 10 and 12, Maine 2, Minnesota 8, New Hampshire 1 and 2, New York 24, and West Virginia 3. Unfortunately, they show a lot of likely leans that are on the Democrat side and not as many on the Republican side, unless they were already in office. Again, you look at the toss-ups. If there are open seats, then that's to be debated. But right now, we see the battle for the House should come over overwhelmingly Republican. Huge, huge advantage. Now, if we go and look at the governor's map, remember, we have a lot of governor's races across the country this year. Excuse me, in Kentucky, what I'm trying to say there is ours is not until next year, our election for governor. But they're talking about there are about 12 states that they say are toss-ups, Republican governor. They mentioned, again, Alaska, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Kansas, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. A lot of interesting gubernatorial election numbers. Now, something else I think it'd be fun to look over tonight is ballot initiatives. And ballot initiatives, we don't see as many of them in Kentucky because of the way our government and our constitution are set up. Remember now, if you're looking at the way the states are run, and the way state governments are run, there are some states it's a lot easier to get ballot initiatives out there. In Kentucky, we don't have state elections as far as governor and lieutenant governor and treasurer and auditor and secretary of state this year. Those are next year. But I think it'd be good to look at the ballot measures because there are a lot of people across the country. Unfortunately, I don't see any at all in Kentucky on the ballot. There are zero. But there are a number of measures. They'll call it an unusually low number, but to me it's still a high number if you look at all of them across the country. The number of statewide ballot measures across the country that will be decided in November is dipping down, because the last time the number of statewide ballot initiatives dipped below 160 was all the way back in 1988. 2 years ago, in 2012, we saw 188 ballot questions across the country. And they're saying an average in the odd or an even number year is 194. 2014 is particularly notable because even though 616 initiatives were filed across the country in different state legislatures. Only 35 measures will go before the voters. And the last time the number dipped that low was 40 years ago, 1974. Now, the low number of initiatives on the ballots across the country may be due to the dozens of regulations, changes to the laws that govern the initiative process. People are making it a lot harder to get these initiatives on the ballot. We look at November. I'm trying to find some interesting ones here. In Alabama, like, we're really going to be surprised that the right to bear arms, thankfully, is still popular in Alabama. There's an amendment there that will require strict scrutiny of any restriction on the right to bear arms. In Alaska, there is a ballot initiative that will repeal a bill that gave tax breaks to oil companies. Alaska also, probably more popularly and more importantly, maybe, allegedly, is going to be Alaska's ballot initiative number two, which we decriminalize marijuana in the state for age 21 and over, up to 1 ounce of marijuana. They also have a ballot initiative in the state in Alaska to increase the minimum wage. Arizona is showing a ballot initiative that would increase the salaries of state legislators from $24,000 to $35,000. I sure hope Arizona says no to that. Arkansas is going to have a ballot initiative on direct democracy, and this is what I was just talking about making it harder to have ballot initiatives. I know this is getting confusing, but Arkansas is going to have a ballot initiative about ballot initiatives. They're going to set the threshold of 75% of required petition signatures to get additional time to collect signatures. So it's kind of a headache to think about this one, especially for folks in Arkansas. They're going to increase term limits in Arkansas, so they're not limiting terms. The ballot initiative would actually lengthen the amount of time they can have in office. State legislators right now don't have as long as they would if they can get this ballot initiative passed. They would be allowed to be in office for up to 16 years. I'm not seeing a number on how long it is now. I'm assuming it's either 8 or 12 years currently. I can't believe this is an issue in the year 2014, but Arkansas also has a ballot initiative on, quote, legalizing the manufacture, transportation, and sale of alcohol across the state. And then they also have a minimum wage bill. So they have quite a few interesting bills in Arkansas with ballot initiatives. California, believe it or not, only has 6 this year. I know that sounds very low for California. Don't really see any big popular or controversial ones on the ballot. They have a Proposition 47 that would reduce the classification of most nonviolent crimes from a felony to a misdemeanor. I don't know if that is them trying to get smart about victimless crimes, or if that is because they're running out of space for all the people that are being housed in this new prison state, or a combination of both. Colorado has an Amendment 67, which is basically an abortion amendment, more or less. It recognizes unborn children as persons in the Colorado Criminal Code, the Colorado Wrongful Death Act. Colorado has a gambling amendment on the ballot this November, which will establish a K-12 education fund funded by expanded gaming at the racinos, or racetrack casinos as we call them. Connecticut's got a ballot initiative on allowing the legislature to expand early voting. So it doesn't expand early voting, but basically it would amend the Constitution to allow the state legislatures, if they so choose, to expand early voting. You know, this is the example of checks and balances that a lot of states have put on their government. Not a bad thing until you're trying to get something passed that is hard to pass with all the red tape. Illinois has got a 5-pack of ballot initiatives. They've got a crime victims bill of rights that would strengthen the rights of crime victims during court proceedings. They got a not a minimum wage increase, but an advisory that would advise the legislature to increase the minimum wage. Kansas has a ballot initiative to authorize the legislature to permit charitable gaming. Louisiana, boy, they're on top of it. Louisiana's got a total of 14 ballot initiatives. They've got an interesting one that would remove a retirement age requirement for judicial office holders. They got one that would limit when tax rebates can be altered by the legislature. The state of Maryland has an interesting election ballot initiative, which permits a county charter to provide for filling vacancies in county executive offices through special elections. Massachusetts, as we sometimes call Taxachusetts, has a ballot initiative that would repeal last year's law that would automatically increase gas taxes with inflation. So that would be a good thing. I don't see Massachusetts passing a ballot initiative that would repeal a tax, but it'd be nice to think they would. They have another gambling ballot initiative that would repeal a 2011 law allowing resort casinos. So this would be an initiative that would get rid of the law allowing casinos in Massachusetts. Looking down the ballot for some more interesting ones here. Missouri has an amendment to create a new lottery ticket for profits going towards veterans programs. I've got no problem with that. I mean, I know a lot of people are against the lotteries. I really don't like the state being in the lottery. I wish that it was privatized. In our state, you know, a lot of people who were against the lottery were doing for moral, quote-unquote, purposes. And I say, you know, yes, the lottery is a tax on the poor, but it's a voluntary tax. Nobody makes you play the lottery. I think if you give people the option to play a game of chance for giving money to some cause or government agency, then that should be up to the individual. What else do we have? New Mexico. An amendment to allow certain counties to become urban counties and establish county charters, whatever the hell that means. State of New York has a redistricting amendment that would create a commission to draw district lines every 10 years. Well, that's better than the way it's usually done in most states where the Democrats and Republicans divide it up. And, you know, if it was a nonpartisan group, that'd be great. Oregon has a bill that will legalize recreational marijuana. And it will make the Oregon Liquor Control Commission responsible for regulating the sale of recreational marijuana. Oregon has a civil rights amendment that would guarantee equal rights regardless of sex. Don't know how you're going to guarantee that. Rhode Island has an amendment that would authorize casino gambling at the Newport Grand facility in Newport, and another one that would prohibit a change of location of gambling without the approval of electors. South Carolina has an amendment that would legalize raffles for nonprofit groups for charitable purposes. And finally, let's see, Tennessee had an amendment that would prohibit the legislature from levying a tax upon payroll or earned personal income. That's a good thing, that amendment. The state of Virginia wants to exempt property taxation for the surviving spouse of someone killed in the military, that's fine. If it's going to help people save money on taxes, I'm all for that. And finally, Wyoming has an amendment that will allow the governor to appoint non-residents of the state to serve as university trustees. Apparently, they're having a problem finding good trustees in the state of Wyoming. So that's your ballot initiative wrap-up. We said we do want to get into the local, county, and judicial races on the ballot here in Kentucky this year. Remember, you are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll jump into this, and then we'll take our break just in a moment after we get into this. But the Louisville mayor is up for re-election this year, folks. And the problem is the incumbent mayor, Greg Fisher, is a really, really bad mayor. Over his first four-year term, the local economy has fallen behind. High-paying jobs are scarce. And crime is on the uptick. And you have a local mainstream press, the junk food media, as I call them, who refuse to point these things out. And many times, only those of us here on the My View Matters radio network even talk about it at all. Nobody else wants to talk about it. Well, Robert DeVore was the only Republican to file against Greg Fisher's little fiefdom. And Robert DeVore seems like a nice enough guy, but I don't necessarily want him to be mayor of Louisville. This doesn't seem like he has a lot of executive background to do that. And the local Republican Party was quick to point out that they did not recruit Mr. DeVore to run for mayor, which is another way of saying that they did not successfully recruit anybody to run for mayor. Remember, from a pool of 180,000 registered Republicans, ladies and gentlemen, that's very troubling. And there are also two official write-in candidates for mayor, Jackie Green and Rajai Dickerson, but I have not seen them do any active campaigning. And on this race, your host makes no endorsements. Louisville Metro Council has some interesting races. Unfortunately, in the 5th District, out in the West End, incumbent Democrat Sherry Bryan is up for re-election. We really wish we could get John Owen in there. I cannot see how a Republican could win in the West End, but it would be great to see him in there. In the 7th District, we have incumbent Ken Fleming is retiring, and we have Republican Angela Leet running against Democrat Bruce Maples. We definitely do not want Bruce Maples in there. If you're going to do something with that spot, you need to keep it Republican with Angela Leet. In the 9th District, again, you have another retiring Democrat. Not a bad thing when a Democrat retires. This is Tina Ward Pugh, but this is the Highlands. And this is a race between Democrat Bill Hollander, the aforementioned mayor's chosen crony, and Laura A. Rice, Republican. And we definitely would like you to go with Laura A. Rice. 11th District, I didn't make an endorsement, but this is where incumbent Kevin Kramer is running against Democrat Larry Hujo. 17th District, you have incumbent Republican Glenn Stuckel, who I think has done a fair job. He's in the Far East End, a very wealthy, well-to-do part of Louisville, and his opponent is perennial candidate, who she's run for so many offices. She's been away for a while, but wants to get back into this public trough, I guess, Susan Johns, then we definitely want you to re-elect Glenn Stuckel. And we don't tell you to re-elect very many people. Finally, you have the 21st District, where you have a horrible, horrible Democrat incumbent in Dan Johnson. Anybody that has listened to the shows on these airwaves knows how we feel about just the stupidities of Dan Johnson. And no Republican filed against him. In all their glory and grandeur, the Republican Party did not recruit anybody successfully to run against Dan Johnson. But an independent did step up. And I think people should vote for John A. Witt, independent, running against Dan Johnson. Those are your Metro Council seats. Again, there are 26 Metro Council seats, 13 up on the ballot this year, but only 7 even drew an opponent. That's kind of sad, I think, when you have 6 districts where they did not even draw an opponent. including Julie Denton, Julie Carmen Rose Denton. I don't know which whole name she's going by these days, but she gets to walk right into the council seat where no Republican ran against her in a primary. We have one gentleman we wish we hadn't run against him. We have no independents running against her, no Democrats running against her, no official write-in candidates. So she is guaranteed to walk onto Metro Council after being in the state Senate for 20 years. Now she wants to double dip, I guess, keep it going on the council, and she even wants to get cozy and cushy and comfy with the judicial hierarchy in Louisville. So we'll get into that in a moment. You're listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. At the bottom of the hour, if you want to call in about any of these races, 858-683-1326. And we'll be back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to your final update before the 2014 general elections on the TV radio show, Tuesday Night Truth on the My View Matters radio network. I'm your host, Dale the Truth, and we'll get right back into it here. We were talking about local and city and county elections here in the Louisville-Jefferson County area. And we have a record voter roll, not turnout, but record voter roll in Jefferson County. They're even saying a high turnout is likely. This was an update that just got put out before we came to the airwaves about an hour and a half ago. The Jefferson County Clerk's Office expects high turnout for the November 4th midterm elections compared to 2010 midterms. There are now more than 548,000 registered voters eligible in the county, and that new record is up 22,000 from what was the last record 2 years ago. Not a big news story. I mean, unless you just have people stop voting and letting their registration lapse or they move and they don't renew it, you're always going to have a bigger number than you did 2 years ago unless they all just leave. I mean, there's dire straits that lead to your voter rolls going down, people denouncing their citizenship or moving out of the state or dying. I mean, otherwise you're going to have a higher voter record roll. Now, voter turnout, they're claiming it's going to be around 65%. That's pretty high for us lately. By comparison, the last midterm elections in 2010 here locally were 52%. And that was even with Rand Paul versus Jack Conway on the ballot. I think we have to admit, Rand Paul versus Jack Conway was a lot more exciting, a lot more of a contrast than McConnell and Grimes. So there's a full ballot. There are several competitive races. And we made it clear before on this show, and we'll say it again, we are not making an endorsement in the U.S. Senate race. This is the about nothing, completely fluff, two-headed uniparty campaign that the junk food media has been force-feeding you constantly for over a year. And it's simultaneously the race in which I have the least political or personal interest. We understand that Fox News and CNN and CNBC and MSNBC and CBS, ABC, all these people are going to be all over this race. We understand that. We understand when we come to the airwaves to talk to you next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Maybe we'll start the show a little bit early. I don't know. We have to run that by Mr. Springsteen because we're not going to sit here and do an election return show. That's going to be kind of boring unless we were on location somewhere and we had several people. Maybe we'll do that next year. Maybe it'll be a good time to do something like that. But the bottom line is this, that when we come to the airwaves at 7 p.m., the polls will just be closing in the western half of the state of Kentucky. So numbers will be slow to come in. But this race, the McConnell versus Grimes, is the voting equivalent of a inter-Islamic blood feud. And it's always best to let those kind of things sort themselves out and stay clear. Alison Grimes is something out of the Twilight Zone, and plenty of people will vote out of fear for 30-year incumbent Mitch McConnell because they buy into the false left-right paradigm and are scared that not doing so would let Grimes win. But I have plenty of friends who are going to vote for David Patterson because he is the third choice on the ballot and the better representation of their beliefs. And I still have other friends of mine who will write in the name of my friend Michael Maggart, who is one of four official write-in candidates for this race. That's something I bet people don't know, is you have a lot of choices, and we're not telling you who to vote for. We're making no endorsement in this race. But you know what? Let's look at all the choices. Number one, you can leave that ballot empty. Number two, I guess you would say choices two through four are the three candidates on the ballot. So those are your second, third, and fourth choices. And then there are four write-in candidates, so those are your fifth through eighth choices. So they tell you that you have to choose between McConnell and Grimes. It's simply not true. You cannot choose any of them. You can choose their third candidate on the ballot, the third party, David Patterson. You can also go with any of the four write-in candidates. So you have eight choices on what to do in that race. Well, I guess if you really wanted to make a protest, you could write in another name that's not running an official campaign. So you technically have nine choices in that race. Seven that would render a vote one way or the other. No endorsement for us. Now, back to the local races of interest. Jefferson County Clerk Bobby Holzclaw is on the ballot. And I will tell you something about Bobby Holzclaw. People can say, well, was she doing that for political purposes? Or does she truly feel this way? I don't know the answer, but the question, to do it in Jeopardy form, the question was, what Bobby Holzclaw did with private records and information that show up in these private records. And what she did is that she made a decision to wipe private information from records. What I mean is there was an effort to protect privacy and prevent identity theft in her office, where they have removed Social Security numbers and other sensitive information from nearly 300,000 documents in their keeping. And I consider that a good thing. They also removed birth dates, zip codes, and phone numbers, and that effort has been included in the scanning and computer check of millions of documents over the last 3 years. The computer, relying primarily on character recognition, usually is able to redact about 98% of the sensitive data, the official said. And the software remains in place and continues to scan and remove Social Security numbers, other data on documents as they arrive at the office. And Holzclaw had a news conference, back about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where she said that there had been about 2,000 cases of identity theft in Kentucky last year, 700 here in Louisville. So we give her a lot of kudos and credit for advocating to get rid of this information. And she had actually been advocating without success for several years at the state level to get a law to eliminate any requirement for a Social Security number to be put on a state document. And if I can find the applause meter here, I would play the applause meter, because we do not need those ID numbers, those digits, on any of our documents. Incumbent Clerk Bobby Holzclaw says she was not aware of any other county clerk in Kentucky taking these steps to protect privacy. And to me, in a race that's usually very boring and not very sexy of county clerk, that's enough of a reason for me, call it political pandering, call it whatever you want, it's a good reason for me to vote for her. It was a good thing she did for the voters. Now, moving down the race, we get into these races. But ever since we had the merger of the county and city governments in Jefferson County, Louisville, that these positions are still constitutional. They would require one of the aforementioned constitutional amendments to get rid of them, but they don't really have any duties or any paid salary of any significance. These are seats like county commissioner, magistrate, and constable. So we're not going to really waste your time going over those races, but I will say if you get a copy of my endorsement list, definitely look at that closely. And then finally, I don't know, finally, we might want to get a chance to talk about some judicial races. But school board is a big, big deal here in Louisville, and we've been trying to get more people to run for school board. And there are three races where we have challenges. The Louisville-Jefferson County Public Schools Board, if you will, has seven positions on it. And three were elected last year. Four more to be elected this year. Now, the four to be elected this year, unfortunately, Diana Porter is going to skate right back in without any opposition. We don't like that. In the third district, the incumbent decided to step down, which we were very happy about. And there is a five-way race. There's a race there with Stephanie Horn, Jan Schultz, Angela Morin, Lee Bailey, and Louis Scarpellini. Unfortunately, we tried and tried and could find very little information for or about or from Lee Bailey or Louis Scarpellini. I don't know why you would put your name on the ballot and not get some more media out there, what you can control. I understand you can't buy a lot of media because, hell, the only cover if you're one of their establishments can, as we've known that for a long time. But that being said, we look at this race and we look at who's getting the endorsements, and it really leaves just the three ladies that have been campaigning, Stephanie Horn, Jan Schultz, and Angela Morin, and we have to go with Angela Morin in this race. Now, keeping in mind, all through this time, last week's show and this week's show, we'll say it again, the opinions of your host, Dale the Truth, do not represent anybody else's on this network. We don't pretend to represent Ken Moman, who does the Sunday night show, Liberty Unbridled. We don't pretend to represent Mr. Ed Martin or Mr. Ed Springsteen, who runs the network. These are all on me. I take responsibility, full responsibility for these endorsements. Nobody else. Nothing to represent them. Moving along, in the 5th District, incumbent Linda Duncan, she wants to be reelected. She has two gentlemen running against her, and they are David Hiddle and Richard O. Brown. Now, this is interesting because, yes, I have some friends of mine who are going to say, oh, they're voting for David Hiddle. And I'm just going to explain this to you. David Hiddle had done a blog talk show right here on these airwaves, not on the My View Matters network, obviously, so his numbers were not anywhere near our numbers, of course. But Hiddle did a blog talk show where he made it a regular habit of his to lambast and blast the Liberty Movement and people like Ron Paul. We haven't forgotten that, sir. That might be enough on the face to keep him out of the race. However, Richard O. Brown is also a candidate in this race. And if you need in on a little secret, there's no way in hell we'd want you to vote for Linda Duncan. They need to retire her, put her out to pasture. She needs not to be running again. But I do think that the best person in this race is Richard Brown. Richard Brown has master's degrees, a couple of them from the University of Louisville. He's worked as a unit business manager for U of L for 4 years. He's also been a system analyst, a payroll manager, a position control manager, a position control analyst, and a policy and budget analyst. I would say, not that age matters, but I would say he's approximately 46, 47 years old. Again, he's a unit business manager at the University of Louisville. He's got master's degrees from that university. And then the third candidate, like we said, is David Hiddle, who is about 23, maybe 24 years old. And he doesn't have any real business experience. Plus, he ripped the Liberty Movement whenever he got a chance on his blog talk show. Plus, in one piece of information that I think is very important to read, and I'll pull it up here, when they were taking the survey from a group called Kentuckians from the Commonwealth, and don't get me wrong, I don't agree with Kentuckians on the Commonwealth on probably the majority of things, but a very important question was when they asked these candidates for school board about military recruitment. I hope I can pull up the questions here they asked them, because I think this is a very important question for Liberty. Of course, now I'm having a struggle to bring up the question and answer section, but it's talking about when military people are given carte blanche to go in and recruit in the high schools, and there's no way for people to opt out of this. And the good news is that candidate number one in this race, one that we think is the best candidate in the race, Mr. Richard Brown, when they asked him this question, let me find it here. Student privacy and the marketing of the military in Jefferson County Public Schools. What would you do as a board member to make sure that Jefferson County Public Schools and parents have an objective, balanced information on making evidence-based decisions about whether or not to participate in ROTC cadet programs in Jefferson County Public Schools? And Hiddle said that he believed that these programs were absolutely necessary in the education field, and he did not have any problem with the armed services recruiting students at that level. Whereas Mr. Brown said that while he supports the military strongly, he also supports privacy. And he feels strongly that some groups who are higher representative of the military than others there. He says there's a problem when there's certain groups that are serving more than the groups from affluent families. He thinks something is not right there. And he also says he supports protection students' privacy. So that was very important to me. So I want to get that in there. The third and final race for school board. And this is another race with an incumbent. But Carol Haddad is a horrible, horrible incumbent. And she has two opponents in Patrick Hughes and Lisa Wilner. I'm not a fan of Lisa Wilner. I really wish that Mr. Patrick Hughes had been able to get his name out a little bit better, because I do think people should vote for him. Quickly, in lightning round form, we know that there are going to be 20 contested judicial races on the ballot in Louisville. 20 contested races. And there are going to be another, let me count quickly, 23 races with one candidate unopposed on just the Jefferson County ballots. It's going to be a huge ballot. You are going to be able to get lost on this ballot really easily, and I'm not saying that as an insult. I've seen the ballot. It's very busy. So, that being said, here in Louisville, there is a Court of Appeals race with incumbent Denise Clayton against challenger Stan Wetzel. We definitely go with Stan Wetzel. Clayton is the incumbent. We won't make any bones about it that we need more people of the background demographically of Mr. Wetzel to be in there to help us out. Clayton has the endorsements of the typical groups, the school unions, the Courier newspaper. We want you to go with Stan Wetzel. In circuit court, there are two races on the Louisville ballot. Those are the ones. Incumbent Barry Willett versus challenger Stuart Perlman. Same thing goes here. Willett has the typical suspects endorsing him. We want you to go with Stuart Perlman. 13th District, we're told that Ann Bailey Smith is probably not going to be beat. We're going to stick with the incumbent Ann Bailey Smith in that race. The endorsements were kind of divided. Then in the district judicial races, you actually have, believe it or not, 11 races in Louisville. 11 contested races for district judge, not counting the ones with no competition on the ballot. We like in order: Nicole Taylor Compton, Josh Schneider, Matthew Eckert, Jennifer Limeson, David Bowles, Gina K. Calvert, James Michael Green, Ann Shivani Dyke, Andre Bergeron, Claudia Ann Smith, and Dana Michelle Cohen. And finally, we have 6 family court judge positions on the ballot in Louisville. And we don't like any of the incumbents here. Most of these are open races, and we like all challengers here. We like Laura Adams Ogden, Deborah DeWeese, Stuart Scherer, Stephanie Morgan White, Dennis Burke, and Mark Gaston. So this concludes your update for the 2014 general elections here on the My View Matters Radio Network. There is absolutely no reason for you not to get out and vote. If you really don't like somebody on a particular ballot, on a particular race, leave that one open. But we really, really think there's absolutely no reason for you not to get out there and vote. We hope everybody will get out and vote next Tuesday, which is November the 4th. Polls here in Kentucky are open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We will do some sort of a wrap-up show. Maybe we will talk about things like voter fraud and election machines that don't work right. I guess that will be kind of our hodgepodge show as we come to the airwaves next week. And in 2 weeks, we will be not here because of our fulfillment of a responsibility at our real job. So either Mr. Springsteen will be sitting here behind the microphone on November the 11th, that's 11-11, or maybe there will be a best of show. But we thank you for listening. We think you should listen to all the shows on the My View Matters Radio Network from Sunday night through Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Get out there and vote. Make a difference in standing up against the New World Order. Thank you.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.